Want to welcome in studio Linda Simmons, formerly of KY3. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me this morning.
Well, thanks for coming in. I really appreciate it. I saw your announcement on social media. I thought, oh, well, this would be interesting. I wonder if she'd like to come in and chat for a bit about this. And you were kind enough to say, yeah, that
sounds good. Yeah, yeah. It's not my normal thing. I'm normally on TV, not on the radio. I'm normally not telling my story, but someone else's. So this is a little strange.
Now, 14 years you've been at KY3.
Nearly 14 years would have been, you know, exactly one more month would have been 14 years. Yes.
Wait, so where are you from? Where do you originate?
I'm from South Central Kansas.
Okay.
And yeah, I was a Kansas girl.
It's kind of out in the middle
until
of nowhere.
I came, yeah, pretty much in the middle of nowhere. Yes, exactly. And then I did work in Topeka, Kansas for 4.5 years before coming to KY3 at another, ironically, gray TV station for 4.5 years. Then I came to Springfield, and KY3 was owned by Schurz at that time, which was a really good company. And then 4 or 5 years ago, we sold out to Gray TV, which is the company that, caused the end of my employment.
And so they've got stations, television. Is it all television?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. All over the
country.
Don't
quote me on that.
Well, you know, it's funny. People may think, well, how do you not know? And if somebody asked me how many radio stations my company, I was like, I have no idea. Oh, yeah. 12, 100. Yeah. I have no concept.
Gray has been adding more and more, but I know we have stations all over the country. Or I say we. Yeah, they.
They now. Well, that's going to be a hard habit to break.
Yes.
Was this something that you knew was coming? How did this, we'll talk here just a little bit about this decision itself, and then we're going to get a traffic update, and we'll get into some more details on it.
Sure. It was back in August, mid to late August, we got notification about a vaccine requirement by October 1st for all employees. And I was like, I was disappointed to hear that. Mm. But then, they gave the option of applying for medical or religious exemptions. So I was like, oh, I'll do that. And so I got right on that and turned in my religious exemption request back in late August. And I think I turned it in that very same week, but then it took about a month, just over 30 days to hear back. And actually I didn't even see the message in my email for a couple of days because I got buried in my other inbox. And then I was just thinking, maybe they would have sent me an email that I didn't see. And I searched and I found it, and it was just, there it was. And it just said, dear Gray employee, didn't even say my name.
That's nice.
Oh, okay. Maybe this went to the wrong person, but, it basically said, well, because you have to be around people, we can't make any accommodation for you. So,
I've not had to fill one out. I've not seen one. What do they ask on your, what does the exemption form look like?
It was just very brief. It just basically wanted you to explain your reasons. I mean, it was one page, the form they gave me that I requested. So it was just very short. But I had another letter that I attached to it explaining all the reasons for my religious exemption. And I felt like it was pretty solid. And I was I was expecting them to agree to it and grant it. And that didn't happen.
Mm. All right, well, let's get a traffic update, and we'll continue on here with Linda Simmons. We are on Facebook Live, as always, 104.1 Nick Reed. And, of course, any of the show you missed, the on-demand section sponsored by GunTech in Nixa. Streaming live, KSGF.com and the KSGF app. Linda Simmons, 14 years with KY3, Thursday being her last day. The company owns KY3, mandating vaccines and not approving your exemption.
Right.
That probably was not a good feeling.
No, that was a kind of a sinking feeling when I got that email. And I was trying to make my deadline that day, but found it in the middle of the afternoon as I was preparing my 4 o'clock report. And I'm just like, had to stop for a little bit and just and pray, Lord, I need your help. Like, this is kind of shocking because, I was expecting that they would grant the exemption, even if I had to keep working remotely as I was. And wear a mask, fine, I'll do that, but no, they didn't have any accommodation.
So, and you and I haven't really had much conversation prior to this, so I may ask questions if you don't want to get too detailed. That's absolutely fine.
Sure.
What is the atmosphere like there? We hear so much, this place over here, it's pretty hostile over here. It's not. When it comes to the whole issue of the vaccines and masks wearing, and what's it been like?
Well, honestly, I haven't been in the building, so I can't say what it's been like, you know, just in person, but we communicate, you know, through email and through an app called Slack, and, you know, the story pitches have kind of just gone along the line of what our community leaders and health leaders are saying, because they're all on the same page, and so that's what our reporters are reporting on, but it's bothered me for months that it seems we're not reporting both sides of everything, because, you know, the vaccine, I believe that everyone has a choice. And if you believe that's the best choice for you, then awesome. I fully support you. But if you have concerns about it, don't believe that you're high risk enough that you need it, and you've heard about bad side effects, because I have. If it's everyone's personal choice, but I believe that, you know, I feel like there should have been more reporting on some of the side effects and everything, and on the effectiveness, because, you know, the things that we hear being passed around outside of mainstream media, I'm like, some of this sounds really legit to me, and we're not reporting that. So
there was a real in-depth study done and published a few months ago, and I talked about it here, and the folks who did it, I forget, it was some university, Stanford maybe, and they were really interested in why aren't people getting vaccines. And what they found is that there was no education gap at all, or information gap, that between people who felt that they definitely had to have it versus those who questioned it, that there was equal knowledge when it came to the reasons to get the vaccine. They found that there were two overriding reasons why people who didn't chose not to. One, and they were risk factor. They were in a category that made it very, very highly unlikely that if they did get it, that, you know, they would survive it. And also region of density, population. So people who lived in areas in which they were more shoulder to shoulder on subways were more likely to decide to get the vaccine. And I've felt that there is just such a misunderstanding of that, and almost a lack of curiosity about it. Like I said, there was that one study done, but instead it just seems as if the people who have decided against it are conspiracy theorists and don't believe in science, and that's where it ends, and that's what every story is written around.
Yeah, and that's sad. I believe there are people who are higher risk, and so and I have loved ones who've gotten it, and I don't judge them at all for that. Mm-hmm. If you're higher risk and you believe it's going to protect you, because we have seen that it has lessened symptoms, at least, then power to you. But I believe that besides, you know, I just truly believe that God was showing me things and showing me reasons that I didn't need to get it. The fetal cells.
Right.
That's one thing. There's, you know, other just the things that I've seen and heard. And I just believe it's wrong that anyone should be forced to take anything, any shot, any medical treatment or anything by force. I just don't think that's right. We live in the United States of America, and we should have that freedom to choose.
We're talking with Linda Simmons, formerly of KY3. I've had people ask me, why do you think local media outlets seem to only have this narrow reporting of this issue? And I'm always like, I don't know, really. You know, nationally, I really get it. And I think people, to a large degree, there is an area of forgiveness, local versus, they say, all right, national, they're all lefties. They're all, you know, they get it. They understand that. But locally, because they see people on the local news who are local people oftentimes, and were born and raised here. And so there isn't that automatic, well, because they're in media, they must be lefties. So there is some room for people to say, well, why does it appear to be this way? And I've never really known the answer to that. You've spent 14 years at KY3.
Well, you know, I've always thought, you know, that local media was much more unbiased, but then on issues like COVID, and then there are some other political issues that more recently that, you know, it's been more obvious to me that that we're leaning one direction rather than the other. But with COVID, I think it's because our reporters are just listening to the community leaders and the health leaders here in Springfield who are following the CDC. And so that's just what you hear, because they're all following the CDC guidance and it's just trickling down. But I've read and heard about things that the CDC is not recommending and experienced them. I've had COVID and I received treatment that the CDC is not recommending, but it helped me feel better quickly.
Right.
So, and I'll say it, and I was fortunate to find providers here locally who I won't call out by name because they're afraid of being targets. Right, yeah. I wanted to do stories with these providers that are providing treatment to people with COVID to keep them out of the hospitals, to help people recover quickly and provide that early treatment. There are providers here locally that are doing that, but they don't want their names out there because they'll be targeted. And I was able to receive ivermectin, doxycycline, and prednisone, as well as a nebulizer. And I was quickly improving when I received those. Of course, it was 5 or 6 days into my sickness that I got that, because it was kind of hard to get an appointment. And,
right.
You know, and I thought at first, oh, I got this, you know, maybe I won't get too sick because I'm not high risk, but I won't joke about COVID. It is serious. I did get sick and it was not fun, but I was able to get that treatment and that helped me to quickly improve. So I'm thankful for those providers who are giving treatment that the CDC doesn't recommend, but that is actually helping people, I believe.
Yeah, to me, it's such a disservice. Because what happens is you get people, and if they just have some of the, we'll call it local mainstream media, they think that no medical professionals are doing that. That even some of the reporting suggests that. I know there was I talked about it in depth. There was a piece that was done in the News Leader, and it was just this open. I can't even understand why somebody would take ivermectin. I'm like, you really not understand that? I mean, you may not agree with it, but to not understand or not understand why people may not trust something that the CDC says, if you don't understand that, then you're not trying very hard.
Yeah. And of course, I didn't take the horse kind, which
right. Yeah, I know.
I know that I can, in some ways, I can understand if that's the only one you can get. Of course, I don't encourage that. But I was able to get a prescription from a medical provider through a pharmacist. Mm-hmm. There are tablets available for humans.
Well, and that's the other thing. I mean, not just to regurgitate all of the issues that I have with the covering of this, but you would think if you didn't know any better that there was only one form of that, and it was for horses to deworm them. Mm-hmm. And again, when you will have a news outlet act confused as to why anyone would take something like that, it's either somebody that's so disconnected from what's going on, they shouldn't be covering it, or they're dishonest. I mean, those seem to be the two.
Yeah. And two choices. I think some of our reporters just, we turn stories so quickly that you don't have time to do a lot of research. Yeah. And so sometimes it may just be the reporter just doesn't know. And we're just listening to the expert who's maybe got an agenda and maybe isn't wanting to tell the whole side.
Well,
and story.
Then I imagine that expert, you think, okay, well, let's hear this alternative view. But that expert that you see as an expert's telling you, oh, they're crazy and dangerous. And if you promote that information, you could be responsible for killing people. You can see how somebody's like, oh, okay, well, I guess I don't want to report on that.
Right, right. So you can get scared out of saying something. That's very possible, very possible. Yeah. And just try to keep the experts happy, the bosses happy. But I feel like we have to share both sides. That's what journalism is supposed to be. You're supposed to share both sides of something. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in many of these COVID things, we have not been doing that.
All right. Can we have you for a little longer?
Just yeah.
Kind of, because I'm sure people are wondering. What
I've got a little time.
Doing. All right. Yeah.
No story to tell today.
Don't have to go to work today. Linda Simmons with us here, formerly of KY3. I'm Nick Reed. Linda Simmons, formerly of KY3 with us.
Hello.
Is this the first time you've done radio?
It is. That
very
first
time. That
seems
crazy to me.
Yeah, well, I went to college and there was TV and radio all in the same building, but I just never got involved in the radio part.
Well, were you going to do TV at one point, Sarah, or no? Is she?
Yeah.
Were you?
I thought about it, but then I got into the radio atmosphere. I like it a lot better. I can wear sweatpants.
Yes. It must seem so much less impressive to you.
Oh, well, you still have all these fancy monitors and everything. Yes, and I do have that going on.
I think it's so much easier. In fact, I remember there was a U.S. Senate primary debate that you all covered at the Willard High School 8 years ago or so.
Yeah.
And so I was there. We were carrying it as well. And your folks were nice enough to just let us plug in so that we have the audio. And the device that I use, it's the same device that I use when we're out on Fridays. And, I mean, it takes no time at all to get set up. And the engineer folks were, like, fascinated with it. It was like, how long does this take to get set up? I'm like, about 30 seconds. And they're like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, no, I'm telling you, it's as easy as can be. So we got real lucky.
Yeah, speaking of things being easy, like we used to, you know, take those live trucks out with the big mast.
Oh, right.
You got to watch for power lines. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we never use those anymore. They're just sitting, you know, KY3 mm-hmm. never uses them anymore. We have these, there are these little backpacks that, you know, I can just haul it in my car with me, and it uses cell phone cards, and boom, you can set it up in, in a minute.
Indeed. Well, even when I first started doing live stuff, not here, but it was called the Marty, and it was similar. I had to put up, I had to do it manually, though. It didn't come out of a van or anything. I had to put together these poles. And when I discovered the Comrex and using cell towers, it was the easiest thing under the sun. So what do you do now? What are you thinking about doing?
Well, I'm just waiting for God to show me because I've thought about, I've been thinking of getting out of the news business and doing something in the communications or public relations field. I don't know at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm just waiting for God to show me. I do feel like journalism is very important, and telling both sides of a story is very important. I always have strived to report the truth and try to be unbiased. And so over these last several months, I've reported on the availability of vaccines. Sometimes I've reported on the monoclonal antibody infusions, which seems like it's been the only treatment that has been, health providers have been okay mm-hmm. with talking about. But I just, if I stay in journalism, I want it to be where I can mm-hmm. tell all sides of a story.
Did you feel like that was a gradual cultural shift in the newsroom? Was there anything in particular like, oh, wait a minute, or how did that enlightenment, if you will, for you come about where you realize, this just isn't quite where it needs to be?
Well, I think the thing that really hit me as, whoa, that's not journalism, was right after the presidential election when they were saying on network, baseless claims that the election was stolen.
Oh, right.
And when the journalists were saying mm-hmm. a day or two after the election that Donald Trump's claims were baseless, I'm like, wait a minute. You're a journalist. You're supposed to report the facts. You're not supposed to share your opinion. And it's a little early to decide mm-hmm. that, don't you think? So that's what was like, wow, to me. And then, with COVID stuff, at first everyone was waiting for a vaccine and I reported on some of the first vaccine clinics and if people were really excited to have that. And I gladly reported on those because people wanted them. Mm-hmm. That's great. That's fine. But then as time has gone on over the last several months, as it's felt like we're just pushing. That's where it started to bother me.
There's the contradictions that occur are just crazy to me. Sometimes I think I'm the crazy one, and we'll have these decisions made, whether it's social media or mainstream media, that misinformation is dangerous, and so we were going to ban this, and this is the official science. But then whenever certain official people change what they say, Well, that is science. Science is always changing. Like, now, how come you don't afford that to everyone else?
Yeah, and the things that are being labeled misinformation, I'm like, wait a minute, who gets to decide that?
Right, yeah.
Because this came from a doctor and from a study, too. So why do you get to call that misinformation? So that's also been driving me nuts about some of the journalists
right
out there.
I think it's people. I mean, you see, they say college campuses, they'll poll college students, and 3/4 of them think that it's okay to ban people that don't give, you know, the proper type of speech. And it's like, this is never, ever, that never works out well for people, ever.
Mm-hmm.
When you pick certain people that get to decide what other people get to say, point right to a time when that began, and then in the end, like, oh, everyone was much better off. No, it doesn't work that
right
way.
We all have freedom of speech.
Yeah.
It's a right in our country, and that's what I'm exercising right now. And I felt like, we have freedom of the press, we have freedom of speech, and I don't normally share my opinion. And obviously, in my reports, I just try to share both sides of a story. But
You can actually make a distinction. You can determine that. Mm-hmm. I think that is another problem that we have is. There has been this dismissal of it being opinion, and instead telling oneself, oh, it's the truth. And I've even heard that argument made. Well, why should we give the other side if that's not the truth? Well, according to who?
Yeah, right. It's not our place to decide what's the truth
right
and what's false. You're supposed to report both sides and let the people decide.
I'm going to take another quick break, and we'll have final thoughts here this morning. I want to again thank Linda Simmons, formerly of KY3, coming in this morning. And I know a lot of people, I mean, you are, I think there are in our community, some of those that are staples, if you will, that are synonymous with Springfield and community, and you're certainly one of them. So
thank you.
That is, I know, going to be a loss for the community, and I know some of the feedback you're getting certainly indicates that. We'll have another segment here in just a moment. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Linda Simmons, formerly of KY3, after 14 years.
Hello.
Now, technically, is that a resignation or a firing, or is that even known?
I was terminated.
Okay, you were terminated for
yes
not
terminated for not complying with the vaccine requirement. Yes.
It's just such a. I mean, we've been going through this. It's just so surreal, particularly all of the focus in the past on privacy. Everything is always so private. And all the things whenever you have an employee or you're doing hiring that you cannot ask, you can't ask this. And we've shifted from that to your employer making your medical decisions for you. And if you don't like it, then you're fired.
Right. And I do want to clarify that it was Gray TV, Gray Television, that made this policy. And my bosses here on the Springfield level, from what they tell me, they had no control in
right
this.
Well, I'm sure.
And I'm grateful that they treated me respectfully and kind when I went in on Friday to have my meeting with them. And so I have respect still for the people at KY3, for my bosses. I'm thankful for the opportunities that they've given me.
And
this was a great TV decision.
Yeah, it's a great TV. We mentioned earlier they've got all over the country
yes
stations. So I'm sure you're not the only one.
Yes, there are great TV stations all over. I'm pretty sure in every state. And I am in contact with other Gray TV employees, and their support has been very helpful to know that I am not alone. And I was not the only one at my station. There were 3 of us that I know of. I'm the only one on air. But I'm in contact with more than 40 others from around the country dealing with the same thing, who had their religious or medical exemptions denied. There are a few others who have spoken out, and you can find their stories being shared online too. So yeah, I was definitely not alone. And from what I'm hearing from the others, we honestly don't know of anybody who has had an exemption request approved through the company. So I don't, maybe there were a few, but there are a lot of us who were denied.
Yeah. Well, it's, I in my mind try to think what it would be like after years of communicating, even though it's somewhat one-sided. Well, you must get recognized all the time. Right. What's that? Tell people what that's like. It happens to me when I talk.
Right.
I will be out, and it just seems like it took the longest time for me to wrap my mind around the fact that somebody would recognize my voice. For whatever reason, I thought how does that even happen? But then I realized, oh, if you watch a Pixar film and you hear, oh, that's Gene Hackman's voice. You know, you do recognize voices, yeah. And that helped me understand it. But anywhere I go, my voice, people will recognize. But you've got voice and visuals.
Right, right. Yeah, so there, people do recognize me in the grocery store, wherever. Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I'm looking my worst, I'm like, really? You recognize me even with no makeup? Okay. But, yeah, and you know, sometimes people will say, oh, hey, news lady. Or sometimes they'll call me by name. Yeah, so I always appreciate it, and I'm happy to always hear people who've watched me over the years.
Well, and I know you'll obviously continue to get that, and hopefully for the community's sake, you'll be able to find, you know, something here, because you have family.
Yes, yes, my family and I, my husband and my daughter and I are pretty settled here. We enjoy living in Springfield and the beautiful Ozarks, so I'm hoping to stay here. Of course, my family in Kansas would love me to come back there, but I just want to do whatever is God's will. So I just ask everyone for your prayers that he would guide me to the right next step. And we're trusting that he'll provide because it is scary to just, not to all of a sudden I'm not getting paid, you know, so that is scary. But I'm trusting that the Lord will show me the way. So.
Well, and you had a really nice posting. I saw it on Facebook. Obviously, you're not, which you probably weren't surprised. They said, hey, do you want to address everyone, all your viewers? Probably didn't anticipate that would happen. Of course, it didn't. But I know that there are a lot of people who know you, watch you, that are listening now. So
Yeah. And I'm grateful for this opportunity to talk to everyone one more time. You know, I know many of you out there are probably KY3 viewers. And thank you so much for your support over the years. I've really appreciated being able to tell your stories. I'm grateful to all those who've given me those last minute interviews, because we call and we ask people to talk, you know, sometimes within the hour or just within, you know, the morning or the afternoon. My 11 o'clock deadline sometimes almost gave me a heart attack, you know, because I start work at around 8 a.m. and I'm live at 11 and I got to have some kind of interview, some kind of story to go on the air with. So many times people have worked with me and given me an interview on short notice. So I'm very grateful for all of that and for all the viewers just watching and supporting me over the years. I'm gonna miss that. So I'm so thankful for the opportunities that I've had and had the chance to grow as a reporter over 14 years. When I came here, I was it was my first chance to report full time. I'd been a TV producer and reporter kind of half and half before coming here. So thank you for watching me grow and improve over the years.
Well, I know it's a big loss, KY3 and the community. And like I said, hopefully we can figure out a way to keep you around somehow. Hey, if you're ever bored, you can just come hang out here.
Well, thank you for the invite.
Want. Absolutely, anytime. Linda Simmons, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed.